This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
This is Macca and Tass on Saturday Magazine. Tass.
Macca, thank you. Macca, during the week, a young man called Daniel Comensoli wrote what I thought was a very moving and powerful piece. So moving and so powerful that I actually circulated it to all of my networks. It was published in The Conversation on February the 2nd, where he talks about the conversion bill debate revealing the church's hypocrisy. I presume he means the Catholic Church's hypocrisy, because as we know, Daniel is the nephew of the Melbourne Archbishop of the Catholic Church, Peter Comensoli. Good morning to you, Daniel.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning. Happy weekend.
Weekend. Now, I wanted to start off with a little play on words, Daniel, if I could. We're talking. We're talking about the Australian Christian lobby, but I think you come from a family of activists, so perhaps it should be the Australian Comensoli lobby.
Yeah, I don't know how we'd all fit into that lobby.
Yeah, I think the meetings could be a bit tortured. Yeah.
Yes. I think there's two differing perspectives within the family on these things, but no, there's obviously, I'm very passionate about the advocacy in that I do, and obviously my uncle is quite involved in advocacy around these issues on the other side. So it's a really complex relationship dynamic that we have. Like, we have a lot of respect for each other and a lot of love for each other because we both stand up for what we believe in and put that out there in the public sphere. But I guess it's really hard for someone like me when there really is that deep conflict of values, especially on issues such as the conversion practices issue, which is just, you know, so important and quite galling that we're having this debate in 2021. So, yeah. Pending. The Australian Comensoli lobby, pending. We'll see where that goes.
I have to say, Daniel, early this morning as I was preparing for today's show, I just decided to jump onto the internet and do a search. And, of course, you came up on LinkedIn, and I hopefully you and I can now be LinkedIn friends. But that aside, I had a quick look at your history and I thought, oh, yes, you are an activist, and so is your father. So that's how we decided that we'd label you as coming from a good pedigree of activists. Obviously you've had a huge amount of feedback to this piece. I personally found it extraordinarily moving, but also very satisfying, and satisfying because I'm lucky enough to live in a society where people can express their views like you have done, and you have done for so many people so beautifully and so eloquently. What's been the feedback to your piece?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that. That's really lovely. I guess when I was writing the piece, I was a bit nervous and anxious about how it would be received because this is the first time that I've really publicly disclosed that family connection. And I wasn't worried about, for me personally, the things I was stating because I firmly believed everything that I wrote in that piece. It was mainly about whether it would cause some friction within the family. And it sounds a bit naive, but I really didn't want to hurt anyone, especially my uncle or my dad, who's actually, still quite a devout Catholic and looks up to his brother, Uncle Peter, because of that. So that was what I was a bit worried about. But I've just, I've been quite overwhelmed with the response. I'm not used to writing such opinionated pieces because, as you know, I'm a policy analyst, so I very much take an objective kind of position when I approach these kinds of issues. So this was really the first time I could really put my own thoughts down on paper and really just express some of my anger and frustration with debates around LGBTIQ plus issues and obviously how the church and, you know, other Christian right groups engage in that. So, yeah, it's just I feel really humbled that it's been received really well and people have, it's resonated with a lot of people, especially within the community and outside the community. So, yes, I'm pretty chuffed, I guess. I didn't really know what would happen. I've never done this before. I really didn't know what to expect, so I was quite surprised with how it was received.
Daniel, I just want to say this again. Thank you. Thank you for being so brave and for being so honest and for being so open with your own personal experience and your personal story. Tell us, what was your family's feedback?
Yeah, I was dying to ask that, Daniel.
what was my family what, sorry?
Your family's feedback. How did your family respond to this?
Oh, yeah, so I really went to my siblings first just to flag that this potentially was going to be out there because I really respect their feedback and their thoughts on this. And they were really fine with it and really quite supportive of it. And I think Uncle Peter was actually really lovely about it, despite the fact that he was quite saddened with the fact that because now it's in the public domain and there's, you know, that real conflict now between, you know, myself and him, he's just a bit worried about some of the unintended consequences as a result of being so public. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that. So I was really happy to get a really lovely message from Uncle Peter. I think Dad's probably the one who was a bit uncomfortable with the way that I approached that having Uncle Peter as, you know, being the chief opponent of this bill and how I kind of raised that personal story of me coming out to him. And yeah, I think Dad very much tries to avoid family conflict or anything that embarrasses my uncle because as you probably know, the Catholic Church has copped a lot of heat in recent years and rightly so for a range of things. And I think
I'm glad you said that.
So I think Dad sees that. Dad sees that, you know, Uncle Peter is the front face of the Catholic Church down in Melbourne. So I think he's just very protective of his brother. And so when I came out and was very upfront with my criticism of, you know, the church's hypocrisy in this area, I think, yeah, it's hard for him, I think.
I'm getting a vision that there's a... that this new ACL Macca is going to have a huge
The Australian Common Soli lobby.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have four, actually. I have a good Catholic family back in the day, an older brother and sister and a younger brother and sister, and I'm smack bang in the middle, so hence why the rebellious kind of, side of me that comes out.
Can I ask... In terms of, okay, this legislation is now law, and, you know, we spoke earlier with Rowell and our LGBTIQ plus commissioner in Victoria.
Yeah.
There's an education process now to go on and an engagement process to go on with people who support it, but also those who oppose this legislation, you know, to explain it. This is how it's going to work. This is how it's going to be implemented. So it's not a case of arguing the merits for or against. It's actually explaining how it's going to work.
Yeah.
For you, Daniel, what do you see as the next big LGBTIQ plus legislative reform we need? You know, as an activist of, you know, many years... you know, what do you think, you know, what would you like to be your next project in this area?
Oh, there's so many things. And I think that I think maybe this might be a generalization, but I'm going to take a stab at it anyway. But I think in the broader community, there was this assumption that after marriage equality was done, that was it, that was the last hurdle that we needed to overcome to achieve full equality for our communities. And that's just obviously not the case. And I hope that now with Victoria passing this really quite world-leading legislation with regards to conversion practices, that we'll hopefully see a domino effect in the other jurisdictions that have yet to approach this issue. So that's the first thing. But I also think, that we still have, I think as a matter of urgency, we really need to address, the medical interventions that are being conducted on intersex infants and children, with an emphasis on removing difference. And I think, these medical interventions are performed without their freely informed consent, and is really quite an awful human rights issue that I think we need to grapple with. And I think intersex people and intersex organisations have been working very hard over the last few years to raise awareness of intersex issues, and particularly the human rights implications of these medical interventions that are still being performed on infants and young people. So I think we really need to grapple with that. But also too, I work in LGBTIQ health, and I think, again, going back to the marriage equality issue, that we had that change, but unfortunately one legislative change is not going to reduce the significant health disparities that we still face. And there is still homophobia and transphobia entrenched in society, and there's so much work to do to tackle that. But there's so many other things that I can talk about, but I won't take up too much
time. But Daniel, can I put one to you? And this is an idea that's been put to us just this morning by Anna Brown, who's the head of Australia,
Equality Australia.
She says that she's interested in religious exemptions and vilification protections. What's your thought about that?
No, I think that's great. And I think we still, you probably remember that debate that we had a couple of years ago around faith-based schools having the right to expel LGBT students and fire LGBT staff on the basis of their sexuality and gender identity. And that was something that Scott Morrison promised to fix. But obviously, with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, that's been shelved. And I think that's really disappointing, because it is a simple change. So, yes, we've still got that. But then also to the Religious Discrimination Bill, which will probably make a comeback this year. And that's something that we need to really fiercely fight back, because it's an awful bill. Yeah.
I actually see, Daniel, another clash with your with your uncle over that.
How about...
We get both, because we'll be at the Pride Centre. We'll be at the Pride Centre in late April, early May.
Be nice, Macca.
Oh, great.
How about you come to Melbourne, right? We'll actually provide you with a plane ticket. You come to Melbourne, and we'll get you and your uncle in the studio, and we'll let you go for it.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, there you go. And your father can be the referee. There you go.
Daniel, thank you for your time this morning. We need to move on, unfortunately. We've got a full schedule this morning. But, again, thank you for your work. Fantastic. And perhaps in a few weeks' time or a few months' time, when you've got some more things you want to talk about, give us a buzz and we'll get you back on air.
Yeah.
More than happy to. Thank you for inviting me to talk with you today. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.